Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter, and I'm reading beginning with chapter 3, verse 1. Peter writes, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." This morning we are considering unhindered, unhindered. And here we come to a center section of Peter's first letter as we press on in our study. It is in Hebrews and chapter 12, the first verse, which I frequently refer to. We read, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us." There, those things which hinder forward movement and which would hinder someone in the race, those things are to be set aside. Those things are to be laid aside. Peter, as he would write to youthful and young Timothy, pastor in Ephesus, he would say, "Timothy, flee youthful lusts. There are some things which are going to hinder and hold you back as chains. Flee those things which would want to grab a hold of you and would want to hinder your forward movement." Peter understood this perfectly well. He understood that there are things that the devil would want to use upon these dear friends of his. And he wanted them to be wise. He wanted them to be understanding, to have discernment in order that they might move forward with all strength. Last Sunday, we were at the conclusion of chapter 2, and that section begins in verse 18, "Servants." And you recall that I spoke to you about how that each of us fall under that category. Peter may have, in that first century world especially, considered those who were servants within a particular household and how that they were to serve, but how easily that is expanded for every one of us. Who of us doesn't have a boss? Who of us doesn't have someone to whom we are accountable? And Peter, he points the finger so decidedly at Jesus as our example for how that we are to act, not simply to the reasonable, but to those who seemingly have had their head chopped off and they are just a body. There is no sense there whatsoever anymore. We now flow into chapter 3, and Peter begins, "In the same way." So we do not isolate what is coming from what has been before. And we remind ourselves that we have Christ as our example, who has suffered and left us an example that we might follow in His steps. while being reviled, did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. He kept entrusting himself to the Lord who was watching over him, his loving Heavenly Father, who he knew cared for him, and that whatever balances there needed to be made, that God would be working that out, and he kept entrusting himself to his Father. He kept on leaving himself there at the foot of the very throne of God. So with all of that, by way of reminder, Peter now, he addresses wives and he addresses husbands. It's interesting that Peter, he does a bit of a flip from what Paul does in Ephesians chapter 5. You may recall that Paul, at some length, he addresses both wives and husbands. But in Ephesians chapter 5, if you go and read that portion, you will see that the wives are mentioned just fairly briefly, and Paul especially pushes hard upon the men, upon the husbands. Peter, he, whether he knew what had been written there to the Ephesians or not, he especially speaks pretty plainly to wives, and then he also speaks, however more briefly, to husbands. But pointedly, and with wisdom, with excellent counsel. We're dealing really with distractions, and I would want to say to you and remind you of what Peter, he plainly says, but I would also want to especially highlight what Peter has been pushing to us each and every time we have opened to 1 Peter, the greatness of our salvation, the greatness of the Lord who has loved us, the greatness of the work that Jesus has done for us, and that Peter, in every opportunity, he is lifting Jesus up and he is wanting every eye to catch a glimpse of him. Whatever distraction might be around us, whatever the situation, whether it's a joyful one or whether it would be one of tremendous pain and difficulty, he is wanting us to catch a glimpse of Jesus in all of his splendor and to know that he is watching over his own and that he is doing the great work that he, in fact, came to do. He is pursuing that. And we are to hold forth as of vital importance that which God holds forth as vitally important. And those things of lesser importance, those distractions, those things that would want to come and they would want to pop up and say, "Hey, look at me!" We would want to just say, "Hey, quiet down there. And let's focus upon what Christ means to us and has done for us." Let's pursue this. Chapter 3, verse 1. Peter, we know that he was a married man. You can't have a mother-in-law unless you have a wife. So we know he had a mother-in-law, so therefore he had to have had a wife, though little is said of Mrs. Peter. But Peter, he speaks, he says, "You wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word," and here Peter, he's following through on what he had said earlier. He had said, "Okay, now some of you have masters, you servants, you have masters. They are good, they are reasonable, they are generous, they don't overwork you. But on the other hand, there are some, many of you, they are unreasonable, they don't know when to stop asking, they don't know when to stop loading on the work. They're unreasonable." Well, Peter, he says, "Now some of you wives, you have loving husbands. They are what God would want them to be. They love you and they love the Word and they love God and they have surrendered themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. But Peter, he was no dummy. He said, there are some of you who have unreasonable husbands. They, as he says, are disobedient to the word. Peter, he's not simply concerned about the interaction that is going on between Mr. and Mrs. He is concerned for the salvation of that one, that husband, who to this point is disobedient to the word. He is concerned that that one be one. And he says, the behavior of you ladies, women, wives, that is, can bear a strong, powerful testimony of how that God has changed you and how that God can change them as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. That's not me speaking. I'm just simply reading from the Word. And if you want to get all bent out of shape, get out of shape with the Word. Verse 3, your adornment, your appeal and attractiveness must not be simply external. Now, ladies, I will let you in on a secret in the male sphere, and I will tell you that us guys, I'll tell you, it was external at first, but Peter, he says, it needs to be more than that. It needs to be more than just what the eye originally caught a glimpse of, an attractive woman. Peter says, not simply external, fixing up the hair, jewelry, some dress, fancy dress. Peter, he says here, verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart. And I want you, when Peter, he mentions the hidden person of the heart, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 5 with me. And there was a point at which Peter himself said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that you have just given. Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus has just given a parable. Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. In verse 15, Peter said to Jesus, explain the parable to us. And Jesus rebukes Peter. He says, are you still a dummy? Are you still lacking in understanding also? He says, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, come from deep within. And perhaps at that point, there was something that grabbed a hold of Peter, and he said, ah, the heart, the heart. And later on, as he would continue to ponder and continue to grow in his understanding, Jesus says here, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and these defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Peter, on that occasion, when Jesus says to him, are you still without understanding? Don't you get it yet? Peter, I think that rebuke seared him. And now he brings it out. He says to these who never had seen Jesus themselves, but based out of that perhaps, he's talking to them about the beauty that ought to come from deep within. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And he says, which is precious in the sight of God. Peter keeps bringing it back. He keeps on coming back. He's talking and concerned about the salvation of that disobedient husband. He's saying that is of tremendous importance, that there be an ongoing witness, a testimony, a reminder to him of the power of God in your heart and in your life. And here, once again, those things which are not valuable in the current fashion of this world, that jewelry, that apparel, or that hairstyle, Peter is saying, those things which are precious in the sight of God, be reminded that these things are just for a moment, but eternity is, oh, so very long. Precious in the sight of God, just like the blood that was shed upon Calvary. Precious in the sight of God, but He was willing to spill that, to shed that, that we might be saved. And it's God going ahead of us all the time. All the time. We love because He first loved us. He asks of us to give, perhaps in an offering, because of His lavishness to us. He asks of us, at times difficult things, because of that which He has done, which was not easy, which was not without cost, but that which He gladly did for our redemption. Peter, he keeps on going and he reminds these people that in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God, there it is once again, these ones, they weren't doing what they did because it was, well, it's the civil thing to do. It speaks of polite society. It speaks of vows that had been taken, and you need to keep your word because that's just what we do. Peter, he points back once again and he says, these ones who have gone before, they hoped in God. That was their confidence, that was their trust. And this is the way they beautified themselves, they adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Now, guys, you husbands, in the same way, Peter says, once again, building upon all that he has said, he says, you also, Peter wasn't such a dummy as to say, now, I know that every one of you have perfect wives. Every one of you, you know, she's just everything that you ever hoped her to be. But Peter, he's saying, now, you fellows, some of you have the lady of your dreams, and some of you, till death us do part, can't come soon enough. You husbands, in the same way, Peter says, live with your wives. And whenever we come to the word live in the Bible, it's not simply exist. It's not just, you know, with fingernails, hold on. It's an abounding word that is used in the Scriptures. It's not simply an animal existence. It's not just keep your heart beating until you bid farewell. you husbands in the same way live, way more than just exist or just make it. Live and or abound with your wife in an understanding way as with someone weaker. Oh boy, what is the pastor going to do with that? The best explanation that I've ever had from a pastor, someone who I heard on this very delicate verse, men, we are as Tupperware. Women are as China. China is fragile, but it is valuable. Plastic Tupperware is not something that is very valuable. Yes, it gets knocked around and continues to serve, but ladies, you are the China and we are the plastic reusable stuff that you throw around here and there. As with someone weaker, not of less value, not less precious in the sight of God, by no means. What Peter here is saying, when you grasp a hold of this, is not a diminishing of the value of the women, of the ladies, by no means. He is saying, husbands, get a hold of this. Pay attention here. You are to live with your wives in an understanding way. There are times when perhaps there is something that comes out that you say, wow, that was really off the wall. Husbands, hold steady, be ready, and continue to live with your wife in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. Show her honor. Good question. Am I, as a married man, honoring the woman who has stood with me for 35 years? Am I honoring her as Christ would want me to honor her? Am I listening to her? Am I pleasing to her, the woman that God has given to me? Peter, he plainly, bluntly says, do this. This is not optional for the believer in Christ as one who has come to know and to taste of the good things of God. Show her honor. And she is a fellow heir with you. All that you hope to receive of the Lord, all of the rewards, she has a share in that inheritance. And the two shall become one. And God looks upon us as those who share in the grace of life. But one more thing, Peter says, that your prayers will not be hindered. Peter is driving here, as I've said before, salvation. Jesus Christ, what our relationship with God is. Marriage can be a distraction. Work can be a distraction. Things that happen over the neighbor's fence can be a distraction. There is an infinite number of things which would draw us away, and Peter, he is bringing us and these people back to where we ought to be. He is saying, your prayers, that communication with your Heavenly Father. You don't want to have anything whatsoever that would serve as a roadblock, that would get in the way of that communication, of that vital lifeline. So, husbands, you've sensed perhaps that there is a struggle. You get down to pray, you go into your closet, you shut out every other thing, and you sense a hindrance. How is it that your marital vows, how are they going? What is going on there? Have you honored her? Have you regarded her as a fellow heir of the grace of life? Jesus came that the wall might be torn down between our Heavenly Father and ourselves. It was highly symbolic that when Jesus died, that veil of the temple was torn in two, that heavy veil, into the holiest place. Jesus came that the wall of enmity, that there might be reconciliation, that there might be a coming together. And Peter is saying, if in this world, if within our homes there is heads that are knocking and there is strife and there is animosity, he is saying it is not as it should be. Not at all. Peter, he comes and he says, unhindered. You remember in the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel as they were exiting out of Egypt and as they were being led by God's hand through Moses towards the promised land, that God would speak to them many things of how that they were to interact with one another, how they were to regard one another, how they were to treat one another, how they were not to defraud one another, and, you know, on and on it went. How they were to live together. What in the world was all of that about? First of all, these people, they had lived under the hand of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians had called the shots. And many times when a people are set, as they think it, at liberty, they can lose their sense and say, great, we can do whatever we want. And God was coming to them. And rather than those things being an onerous burden upon them, it was to restrain and it was to hold them steady, lest, as some of them did, said, oh good, we can do whatever we like. And so we find them making golden calves and striking off in any different direction. God comes to them and He speaks to them about how that they were to interact with each other. But at every point, it was not simply and only that, but it was also speaking to them of the very character of God. And God, He was pouring through even those regulations and those stipulations. He was speaking to them of who He is, what He was like, that He was different than the gods whom they had observed the Egyptians worshiping, and that they were to be a different people than they had been before, and certainly of the nations round about them. Peter, he speaks to us about godly living. He speaks to us of practical matters. He speaks to us plainly and pointedly. But behind it all, behind every part of it, we must see our Lord Jesus Christ and who God is, and His desires, that yes, He wants us to live at peace with one another, but most importantly, He wants us to live at peace with Him, that we would know His forgiveness, His cleansing, His salvation, and the life that He alone can bring. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Lord, I give You thanks and praise for how that You speak to us of very practical matters, of things that we are bound to keep, ways in which we are to conduct ourselves as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. I pray that this would be a particular word to many who are here or who will hear this in days to come. So, Lord, work wonderfully. But our desire, even as the desire of your own heart, Lord, is that we would see the value of a soul. Those disobedient husbands, Lord, may we redouble our prayers that they would come to know you and to love you. May there be, O God, I pray, a mighty witness. That which is precious in the sight of God, may it be precious to us as well. And may we grow. May there be no hindrance in our relationship with you, in our walk with you, in our forward movement. Lord, how the devil would want to slow things down, at least to slow things down, if not to bring things to a complete standstill. May we realize his tricks. May we realize the devices that he uses. And may we stand strong against them. So, Lord, I pray, work in mighty power. To every wife who is here, to every husband who is here, to those who will yet enter into the bonds of matrimony, may this be a powerful word. But Lord, let us hear what you speak of the value of the soul and what you regard as precious. And our Lord Jesus Christ, through it all, and what he has done for us, may he shine ever more brilliantly in our hearts and before our eyes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.